In the name of Jesus, amen. Growing up, I used to do a fair bit of duck hunting, mostly with my dad and brother. Been a while. Maybe I'll get back to it someday. There are two bags of decoys in my garage presently that my wife tells me either need to be used or removed. So maybe sometime, but maybe not. If I ever do get back to it, maybe I will bag a canvas back. A canvas back is that's kind of duck. You may not know, may or may not know. That's a big duck, beautiful, majestic ducks. They're fast. Kind of this chestnut brown head, this long sloping bill, a black tail, kind of this gray white body. Just a beautiful thing. And I never got one, and not just because I'm not a very good shot, which is the case, but I never got one because the canvas back is rare. Beautiful but rare. They weren't always rare. There was a time when they weren't so rare. One of the reasons they're rare is because back in the day, a long, long time ago, hunters could get the equivalent of $20 a piece for one of these because they're also tasty. But they weren't always rare. In fact, if back in maybe October 1993, I was lucky enough after a day's hunt to hear some of the real old timers spin a tale about the old days, they'd say, "Well, Sonny, back in the fall of 27, the cans came in by the thousands. They were like cloud after cloud of 3-pound feathered kamikazes." But you don't see them so much anymore. Once in a while, though, you're out in the blind or the flooded cornfield. I'm waxing nostalgic now, and maybe you'd see one glimpse out of the corner of your eye, or more like it, maybe Dad would look off in the distance, and you'd see this long silhouette and say, "Man, hey, Benny." That's what he called me in the blind. "Benny, I think those are canvas bags." And then that day, even if you didn't bag a single bird, you would count yourself blessed. And not just because a bad day hunting is still a very good day, but because the canvas back is rare. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. The word of the Lord was rare, and it was canvasback rare, which is the reason I waxed nostalgic and gave you that little story about that bird to give you the feel of the kind of rare I'm talking about when the author of 1 Samuel tells us that a millennium or so before Christ, at the tail end of the time of the judges, just before Samuel would get to anointing David the king, the word of the Lord was rare. And not just, well, you kind of don't see it very often, rare, but you wish it were not so rare, rare. A rare that when you see it, you go, "Wow, rare." You remember and you long for a time when it was not so rare, rare, rare like a precious gem. Which, in fact, is the way the Hebrew word is most often used in the Bible to describe a beautiful or a precious gem. Even when you just catch a glimpse of it, you count yourself blessed. The word of the Lord was rare. It's probably an understatement for the time. Said Samuel comes the tail end of the book of Judges. In the time of the Judges, the tagline there is, "There was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes." And some of the things that people did that are actually recorded in Scripture, things like what Jephthah did to his daughter, or what the men of Gibeah did to the Levite's concubine, and then the Benjamites did in response to that, they're the sort of things you can only allude to in polite company. But the word of the Lord was rare, even from the temple from which the word of the Lord was supposed to go out. Instead, what went out were head priest Eli's sons going out to steal the offerings and take advantage of the women who offered them. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. And how about these days? Is the word of the Lord rare? It's kind of the thing that popped into my head, and it's usually what I preach on, I tell you that. Whatever comes to me first in reading a text, when I came across that line, "The word of the Lord was rare in those days," I said, you know what? That sound account kind of sounds like today. Or how about your days? Is the word of the Lord? Are words of abundant grace and words of hope and words of surprising forgiveness and words of freeing promise, are they coming over you like clouds of canvas backs in 1927? Or are you more often one scanning the horizon for just a single syllable? To hear a single syllable of a word which isn't an angry word or a despairing word or a jealous word or a demanding word. You know, they do that thing at the end of the news, if you still watch the news, that after 29 minutes of words about civilization circling the toilet, then they'll give you, in better news, kittens, or something like that. Which isn't exactly word of the Lord, but it's better than Ukraine or Gaza or politics. And so the Lord called Samuel. The word of the Lord was rare, and the Lord called Samuel. I said last week in that our Old Testament lesson was the first words of the Bible, let there be light. And I said, let there be light isn't just the first thing out of God's mouth, but it's kind of the only thing that ever comes out of God's mouth. And it's the gospel word that everywhere we can look in Scripture to find where's the let there be light word, the gospel word. And today it's right there. And God called Samuel. That's the good news word. God looked over a world where the word of the Lord was rare. Not just it wasn't being spoken, but no one wanted to hear it. They'd rather listen to the internet or some angry words or whatever. And the Lord didn't just say, throw in the towel if they don't want to hear my words. But the Lord said, I know what I'll do. I'll call Samuel. And I will keep calling him. Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. I'll keep calling. Maybe the word is so rare that when it comes, he can't even hear it. But I'll keep calling him until he finally hears it. And I'll call a Samuel. I'll say, let there be a Samuel. And through Samuel say, let there be a David who will speak and will sing some of the most beautiful words ever. And then finally, fast forward, let there be King David's great, 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 great grandson, greater David's greater son, the Christ. Let him be. Let he who is the word made flesh, let him speak mercy, and let him talk grace. And let him declare forgiveness bigger than all the sins and proclaim hope, which is more than all the despair. Let the one of whom Samuel would prophesy and of whom David would sing, preach, and heal, and live, and die, and rise again, so no matter how rare the word of God is, so that you today would know it's never silenced. In fact, it will never, not only never be silenced, but that this Jesus will keep talking and keep canceling sins and telling hope and talking more and more and more until the only words that are left as a word of the Lord to you, saying, come to me, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. The word of the Lord was rare, and what does the Lord do? The word of the Lord is rare with I wish there were more of it rare. The word of the Lord is rare with a man. I remember a time when it didn't seem so rare. The word of the Lord is rare, and what does he do? He does a Samuel. And through Samuel, he does a David. And fast forward a little bit, and he does some Phillips and Nathaniels. He calls an X, and he calls a Y, and he calls a Z. And then he calls a U. Can you believe it? I said how the gospel, the good news in our text, is that God calls Samuel. You know what you are? You're the good news. You're the good news for the world. If you don't believe it, well, I mentioned Samuel couldn't believe it either. He's just the acolyte taking a nap. I'm sure Maren's not napping. I'm not going to look at her, but, you know, I'm sure she's not. Nope, not. He's got to check. He's just the acolyte taking a nap. He's thinking, is it Eli must be talking in his sleep again. Maybe he got into the communion wine. Are you talking over there over and over? Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. Yes, you, little Samuel, even you. Those bumpkins, Philip and Nathaniel in our gospel lesson, them too, and you bumpkins, and this bumpkin. And why? Because the word of the Lord is rare. Because words of domineering parents and voices of ashamed consciences and the barks of merciless social media are not rare, but the word of the Lord is. God calls to you as surely as to Samuel. Samuel, Samuel.
So I asked. Doesn't really matter what I ask. Let's hope it's the Holy Spirit asking. Where is the word of the Lord rare? And maybe limit your answers to the question to the where's where you might actually go. I mean, maybe Gaza, Ukraine, or wherever. But where is the word of the Lord rare among the places where you actually go? And I think if you ask yourself that, questions are, you won't have to look too far. Who do you know who is scanning the horizon looking for that so rare bird? Maybe it's someone who used to see it once upon a time, who doesn't see it much anymore, who maybe if they can't admit it to themselves, actually is longing for a time when things were different and they heard the word. I actually think that's every single one of us sometimes, that it doesn't seem like God is quite as close as he was in the old days. So if you're looking for someone for whom the word of the Lord is rare, you may have to look no further than someone who you live with, or at least the person in the pew right next to you. Or maybe you can think of someone who's given up longing for a word of good news and hope and mercy and forgiveness altogether. For who, instead of like a rare canvasback, the word of the Lord is more like the dodo or the pterodactyl. It's extinct. Once upon a time, that word resonated, but it's gone now. If that's the case, I think what's happening right now, it's a different bird. Not the canvasback of the dodo, but the dove of the Spirit. Fluttering around in this place right now, saying to you, Samuel, Samuel, or whatever your name is, go and make the word of the Lord less rare. Text them. If it wouldn't creep them out, give them a hug. Pray for an opportunity to be a word or two pointing them to that Jesus whose final word for them is, come to me, you heavy burden. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. And this sounds like a burden. You're saying, man, I'm in a spot. I'm here to hear the word. The word is rare for me. Don't give me another thing to do. Don't send me out there to be a Samuel to someone else. I hear you. But I also need to tell you one of the cool things about being a Samuel to one to whom the word of the Lord is rare is that that one oftentimes becomes a Samuel to you. In a weird revision of the childhood thing, I'm rubber and you're glue, whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. The thing is, when you speak the word of the Lord to someone who needs to hear it, it not only sticks to them, but you might just find it bouncing back and sticking to you. I can just say from personal experience, one of the great joys of being a parent is once in a while hearing one of your children, one of those to whom you were perhaps one of the first ones to speak the word of the Lord, speak it back to you. Now, unfortunately, that's not the only thing they speak back to you. Sometimes it's just as jarring to hear the other things they speak back to you, knowing they came first from your mouth, but that's a different sermon. But what a joy it is to hear one of those to whom you spoke the word first because the word was rare to them, speaking it back to you. For me to hear Stella or Ruby or Phoenix speak some word of grace or hope or forgiveness to me, some words I spoke to them bouncing back and sticking to me. So the word of the Lord was rare in those days. The word of the Lord is rare today. The word of the Lord is rare, but there was a Samuel, and there is a you, and more importantly, there is a Jesus, and Jesus just loves to talk. Sometimes he just loves to talk through you, but if you don't do it, the stones will cry out. But there's a Jesus, and he loves you, and he won't stop talking until you know it, and everyone else knows it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.